The word today is stone. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. One of the names used for Jesus in the Old Testament is stone. Several times the scriptures refer to Jesus as a building stone, which was rejected by the Jews. Yet, the Father caused Jesus to become the primary capstone or cornerstone, meaning the most important stone of the building. Here from our archives with a review of these concepts about Jesus is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Stone.
In the past, I have often shared with you some other names that the Bible uses for the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only true God. And I've also used some other words from the scriptures about the names for Jesus. You know, I'm so intrigued by these, and I believe that as we learn these different names, we learn insights, we learn certain things about God and certain things about Jesus, the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. We again get to know God more familiarly and in a more friendly way, I guess is what I'm trying to say, so that as we pray to him and as we meditate on him and as we think of him, as he moves within our lives, as he lives within us, as we serve him and as we worship him, he becomes more and more meaningful to us, I believe, as we use some of these other names. One of the favorite names in the past 6 months that I've been using in my heart and in my life as I walk with God day by day is the word El Roy, R-O-I. It's pronounced Roy, almost as if the I was a Y. But it's Hebrew, and L-E-L is an abbreviation for the word Elohim, which in Hebrew is the Lord God Almighty. It's a very common word for calling upon God, Elohim. He is the God, he is the righteous God, the only true God. And so when you abbreviate Elohim and you just use the first two letters, you're left with E-L, L. L, it's kind of like a footnote, kind of like an address, kind of a abbreviated address to God, El, O Lord God Almighty. And then the Roy, R-O-I, means the one who sees me, the God who sees me. And I love that definition for God. I love that characteristic of God. Now, obviously, it can be taken two different ways. If you're talking to an unbeliever, somebody who doesn't believe in the true God, and they know that they're living a sinful life, they are going against the will of God, then you say to that person, the eye of God is upon you. Well, they're going to be shook by that. They're going to be saying, hey, don't tell me that. I don't want God to know anything that I'm doing. I'm trying to keep secrets from God, and I'm trying to stay out of the way of God. Well, you tell somebody like that, well, God sees you, and God knows who you are, and God is with you every step of the way. That's probably going to be a little disconcerting to them, and probably a little bit not only confusing, but negative. And they would say, oh, I don't like that thought. But that would only be true for the unbeliever, somebody who disbelieved in God. For the believer, it is an enormous joy. It is an enormous blessing to say to someone, the eyes of God are upon you. That's saying, God knows who you are, and God knows you intimately, and God will never leave you or forsake you. He loves you, and he's with you. He knows when you're heading into trouble. He knows when you're going to need his presence for comfort. He knows when you're going to be sad or when you're going to have a stressful relationship. He knows when Satan is going to attack you. He knows when you need to be filled with his presence. And so it's an enormous comfort and an enormous joy to know, to say to somebody who knows the true God, the eyes of God are upon you. He will see you. He will know what your needs are, and he will bless you. I love that name for God, El Roy. Well, I'm talking about the names for Jesus here, and there's one that's used quite a bit in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, mostly in the Old Testament, not totally, not completely. Some people translate the original word as rock. You've probably heard a name for Jesus as the rock of my salvation. I kind of like that thought of the rock, because especially when it's used in terms of a shelter or a hiding place. I've crossed many deserts in not only this part of the world, but also other countries. And I'll tell you, it can get very hot out on the desert, and you begin looking for some shade. Well, I picture this name of Jesus as the rock or the stone. A lot of people interpret that original word as stone, the stone, as a shelter. Well, I think of a huge boulder. Think of a huge boulder as big as a building, let's say, which out on the desert, when you find a stone that size, or it's almost like finding a little mountain that's casting a shadow. In fact, in one of these texts I'm going to give you later in just a few minutes here, it actually refers to the stone becoming a mountain that filled the world. This is a reference to Jesus, and I'll get to that in just a minute, but let me finish that thought. If you're in the blazing sun and you're looking for some shade and a little place to rest and a little place to be safe, you're going to get in the shade of the shadow of that huge boulder, of that huge rock, or that huge stone. I like that thought. I like that idea. Now, let me take you to that interpretation where it speaks of the stone becoming a big mountain. This is in connection with the second chapter of Daniel. Now, if you haven't read Daniel for a while, you might want to take a look at the second chapter of Daniel, because Nebuchadnezzar was just a horrible king. He just did all kinds of things against God. And so Daniel was kind of a reminder to him. You know, God doesn't like what I'm doing. And so he would come up with all kinds of things, all kinds of dreams. And in this one particular case, he decided that he was going to build kind of a monument to himself. He was going to build an idol, we would call it. And this idol, this huge structure, had iron legs and iron feet. And part of the feet were clay. Well, you can take the picture of Jesus in this connection as the stone who crashes into this idol, crashes into this false god, and simply shatters it, breaks it into a thousand pieces so that it crumbles. Now, that's a reminder again that Jesus, we're told in the scriptures, is one who's going to become a stumbling block for those who disbelieve and do not trust God. They will stumble over Jesus. They will have a lot of problems with Jesus, and they're going to fall a lot of times because of their disbelief. And in one particular place, I think it's right here in Daniel 2, as a matter of fact, it says that Jesus, as a stone, is going to crumble and crush those that are against him and opposed to him. You know, the reference here, I believe, is to the day when it's sometimes called in the New Testament the day of the Lord, the day when Jesus comes back and establishes his rule, where he puts all the evil empires and all the evil kings and all the evil rulers are going to be kicked out, and they're going to be more or less eliminated. And Christ is going to rule. Christ, this stone, it says this stone becomes a mountain that grows and grows and fills the world. That's a reference to the fact that Jesus Christ will rule over all things. Now, I don't want to get into, you know, the teaching of whether or not there's going to be a rule here on earth and so on prior to his coming on Judgment Day. Let's not get into that. Let's leave it for all the people that want to debate stuff like that. The fact is that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the world, and every kingdom and every king and every power will answer to him, and he ultimately is in control of all things. I just love that reference to Jesus, that he is the stone. He can be the refuge for those who love him and seek him and find their comfort and their shade and their relief, all these things in him. But he will become the stone of stumbling, and he will destroy those that refuse to believe in him and refuse to surrender to him. So that's one reference to this Jesus whom we love, and one other name that's given in the scripture for him, stone. Let me give you another name, and I find this one a very exciting name also. It's that Jesus is the door, the door. And, of course, a picture of the door. I realize how fast my time is going on this broadcast. I'm going to have to give you the text and next week finish up the analysis of this name, Jesus, as the door. Look in the 28th chapter of Genesis. Genesis 28, and that's where Jacob is having a vision of heaven. And he looks to the heavens and he sees that Jesus is the door to heaven. I love that beautiful analogy and that beautiful description of Jesus. And the second place that the word door is used, representing Jesus, is in the fourth chapter of the Revelation of St. John. And John, in the fourth chapter of his revelation, refers to Jesus as the door of heaven, as he sees heaven open up. Now, I'm going to come back to that next week, so get your notepaper handy and your pencils or pens, and we'll come back to that. But I just want to leave these two thoughts with you today. Jesus is our stone. He is our shade and our victory. He is the one that will destroy the enemy. He is the total ruler of all things. And he is the door. The only entrance into heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other entrance. So he is the door. He forgave our sins on the cross. He rose from the dead. He is our Savior and our Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.